Turn to Genesis chapter 1. We thank the Lord that in all of our soldiers out of this church that have been in battle zones have come back safe and sound. So we'll be praying for you, buddy. You've been there twice and the Lord's protected you. Look for him to do it again. Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read the first five verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light, that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day in thanksgiving for the Word of God we have in our hands, for the knowledge and the light that it brings, for the salvation you brought to many of us. And we pray, Lord, that we would continue to shine your light, and that your light would shine, and many more would be saved. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. We'll give you the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. There are many ways to go from this passage right here. I'm going to go from the idea of light as being truth, light being understanding, light being wisdom, and light being right. I'm going to show you a few things, and it's going to be a topical sermon in the sense that I'm going to deal with just light from several verses of Scripture in the Bible to show what it is. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I grew up in this town out on the south side of town, and we didn't even have a fan when I was a little kid. Opened up the windows, and the breeze would come in. I don't know if you ever were scared when you were a little kid, but I would see all sorts of shadows on the wall. And in the darkness, they look like booger men. They look like demons. They look like bats. They look like something, you know? Lions, tigers, whatever might come in the darkness. Isn't the light wonderful when mama walks in and daddy walks in and they switch on the light and you see it's nothing but somebody's old coat hanging on the back of a door that the wind happened to blow a little bit? It's an amazing thing. Light's a very wonderful thing to have. Now, when I was younger, I didn't have a nightlight. Well, this is my seventh decade, and I like nightlights. I don't like stumbling on things. And somehow, my wife keeps moving the furniture. She doesn't really, but I keep finding it in different places. I like light. And it says right here, the very first thing that God did, the very first day, is that he made light. And you know what he said about that light? He said it was good. And he said it divided the light from the darkness. Now, I'm not going to talk about all the different characteristics of light, but there's one of them especially. Just this little story I told about when I was a kid in the darkness, all the things you could dream up until the light came on and you saw what it was. Light brings truth. Light dispels darkness. Do you know something? Darkness cannot overcome light. Light always overcomes darkness. Always. Where the light goes, darkness cannot stay. And the closer you get to the light, the more you're going to see the imperfections that would not be seen in the darkness. When I was a kid in high school, teenager, there was a nightclub in this town out on Fredericksburg Road called the Kit Kat Club. And we thought that place was, boy, that was the cat's meow. And I remember going there at night on a date and thinking, man, this is a cool place. Well, I got out of high school and got a job as a retail milkman. Worked for Milam Creamery, and it was on my route. I delivered to the Kit Kat Club in broad daylight. What a revelation. The walls are peeling, paint peeling off the walls, scroungy stuff. You couldn't tell it at night because they kept the lights down low. If they kept it dark enough, you thought it was a great place. You put the light on it, you see what a dump it was. It was a real revelation. I mean, we're just talking a year or two. Difference between my going there thinking, oh, this is a super place to be, not knowing what a dump it was, and that they simply had it out because it was in darkness, and I walk in there in broad daylight and see what a real dump the place was. Light is a wonderful thing. And there's several things that's said about it, and this idea of truth. You know what the world does not like? They don't like the idea of absolute truth. They don't like that anybody could be actually right. Several things said in the Bible. I want you to notice several of them. Started right there with the first one. God saw the light. He said it was good. He divided the light from the darkness. That was the first day. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles, over to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. We say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is light. You know, the closer you get to God, the more you're going to see how dark you are. The closer you get to God, the more you're going to see your sin. I've met people who say, oh, I haven't sinned in 20 years. Well, that's just because they've been so far from the light. They're walking in such darkness, they can't see what they're doing is sin. Christians who grow close to God, Christians who seek to please God, the closer they get to God, the more they see that everything they do is contaminated with sin. Best sermon you ever preach, the best witness you ever give, the finest gesture that you ever have towards another person in love is still contaminated by your own self-love, contaminated by your sin, your self-righteousness, your pride. But you had to get close to God to see that. And that's what God does. You can't get close to God without him revealing yourself to you. In fact, I remember so well 49 years ago, when God simply pointed me out back there in a congregation of 500 people. I doubt anybody else noticed it the same way, but I thought he was talking to me. He was talking to me. I was a preacher up there talking. He didn't know me from Adam. I'd never been in the church before in my life. He didn't know my wife, but I thought he must know her because he knew so much about me, the way he was talking. God revealed the darkness in my soul, and there I'd excuse myself time and again. I realized I was a sinner on the road to hell and needed a Savior because God is light. And the closer you get to God, the closer you get to truth, understanding, wisdom, and salvation. Now it says God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God's not only light, it says that Jesus is light. Look, if you will, in John chapter 12, verse 46. Jesus is speaking. He said, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I want to thank God that the more you learn about Jesus Christ, of course, the more you know about God, because Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. The Bible declares that in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What a verse. What a doctrine. What a thought. In Christ Jesus. You want to see what God looks like? Take a look at Jesus. You want to know what God thinks? Take a look at Jesus. Jesus said, I am come a light into the world. Isn't it amazing how we don't like light sometimes? They want the truth because the truth hurts. Truth smarts. Truth offends. We don't want the truth. And that's the reason what got Jesus in trouble over and over again. He spoke the truth. Read it. Just go back and read your Gospels again. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read what Jesus said. Read how he confronted people. Read how he witnessed to people. Read what his testimony was. And what you'll find out is this man was light. He was truth. He was absolute truth. And people came in contact with that truth, and many of them couldn't handle it. Many of them can't handle it today. He said, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. The Bible said there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. No man comes unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other mediator. There is no other priest. And if you do not have Jesus, you don't have the truth. You say, that's awful exclusive. The Bible is very exclusive. You either have Jesus or you don't have salvation. You may be a very nice person. You may be somebody's grandfather. You may be somebody's grandson or granddaughter or the sweetest little baby, the baby of the family. But if you don't have Jesus, my friend, you do not have salvation. He said, I'm come a light into the world. Not only is Jesus light, the Bible tells us His Word is light. Look at Psalm 119. Verse 105 says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's so many things in life you don't have enough time to get wisdom on. There's so many decisions you have to make. You're young people, you grow up, you get married, you have a few kids, and then all of a sudden you're making all kinds of decisions. You know what's fun to watch? I love to watch the kids up here. Always. But it's even more fun to watch you. I get back there and I'm walking around so I can see these parents' faces, these grandparents' faces. That's fun. Because you're just lighting up. You're lighting up more than the kids are. It really is. It's amazing. You actually think that you have the most beautiful grandchild in the world. And every other mother and father thinks the same thing. It's an amazing thing. We do love our kids. We do love our children. Sometimes we overlook a lot of things in them. But the Bible says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How are you going to know how to answer your children? How are you going to know how to lead them? How to teach them? You need the Word. You need the Word of God. Now I realize we live in a modern time where there's an awful lot of unbelievers out there. And they're teaching you, you don't need the Word of God. They don't want you to have the Word of God. They badmouth it at every turn. They do their best to duplicate it and replace it one way or another. But my friend, what you need is the Word of God. Amen. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, so that when I'm walking in darkness and making decisions in darkness, I've got a light to go by and a light unto my path. What a blessing to have the wisdom of the ages, the wisdom of God, placed in your hands, that you have the opportunity to make some decisions in the right way. Look at verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. It gives light, it gives understanding. I don't know how many times when I've been looking at something, trying to figure something out, it's almost like somebody turned on a light. All of a sudden you understand. All of a sudden, the equation is simple. All of a sudden, the answer is simple. It was just driving you absolutely nuts, but then all of a sudden, it just is there. That's light. And that's the way God treats us many times in the decisions of life that we have to make. You worry about them. You pray about them. You read about them. You ask advice. You do the best you can. You come to the Word of God, and somewhere down the line, all of a sudden, there it is. I want to say a verse of Scripture. I've been reading this book regularly for 49 years. And you know, there sometimes I'd be reading over a passage that I'd read over and over and over again, and sometimes you just wouldn't understand it. I'd have to admit, I don't know what he's talking about there. I don't know what the answer is there. And then a year later, 2 years later, you're reading that exact same passage, and all of a sudden it just stands out to you. Light came. And it's like you flipped on a light inside of a very dark room. All of a sudden you see exactly what he's talking about. And you thank God for understanding. There are a lot of very smart people. And many smart people do not believe the Bible. You know, back when I first read you that passage, if you can believe the first four words in that passage, you won't have any problem with the rest of the book. In the beginning, God. The problem is that this world does not want to retain God in their knowledge. They're very smart, but they've made themselves gods. They made themselves the highest thing they know. And by doing so, they think they escape judgment. They think they escape absolute truth. The problem is they won't escape absolute truth. Neither will they escape judgment. He said, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible not only says that God is light, Jesus is light, His Word is light, but it says His children are light. Are you a child of God today? Amen. You belong to Jesus Christ. He saved your soul. He changed your life. You belong to Him. Then you're light. He says in verse 14 of chapter 5 of Matthew, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill, on a hill, cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. I got saved in the service. I was in the Air Force in Roslyn, New Mexico, and I was saved. I quit running with the crowd I was running with, and I quit drinking, smoking, gambling, and cussing. I lost almost every friend I had. That's what we all did. I started going to church every time the doors opened. And I started making new friends. Started reading the Bible. I started witnessing to people, talking to people, and most of them didn't want anything to do with it. But it wasn't very long, you see, what by doing that, by saying, I got saved on September the 1st. God saved my soul. He forgave my sins. He changed my life. I got saved. Now that I want to live for Him, I'm not going drinking anymore. I'm not smoking anymore. My language is not what it was. I'm not sitting down playing poker all day. That set me up as a mark. I didn't realize that's what I was doing to myself. But that's exactly what I was doing to myself. The minute I took a stand and said, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe He's forgiven my sin and saved my soul, they put a big arrow right on top of me. And they began to watch me. And you know what they were looking for? To see if I was real. I had one of my good friends, buddies before, he said, oh, well, you just got a bad dose of religion. Give it a couple of weeks, it'll wear off. Why would he say that? Because it wears off on so many people. You are a light. Everybody in your family that knows you profess to be a Christian is watching you. Everybody at work that knows you go to church, that you call yourself a Christian, is watching you. They're listening to every word that comes out of your mouth, and they're doing it with criticism. They're doing it with judgment. And if you talk like they talk, and you act like they act, and you think like they think, they're not going to believe your light. He said, you are the children of God, and as the children, you're like a city set on a hill. And I realized down here in this area of the world, you don't see a city from very far away. Get out in the desert. Get out in the plains. You come up over a rise and you'll see the light of that city miles and miles away from it. You set a city up on a hill somewhere and they don't have to come around the curve before they see the lights. It'll be showing from a long ways away. Now, whether you like it or not, my Christian friend, you are a light and you shine. And people are watching you. You see, it's not fair to Jesus. They're going to see is the Jesus that shines out of you. They're not reading their Bible searching. Most of them are not going to churches or revival meetings seeing if they can find the truth somewhere. They're looking at what light there is in their dark world. They've got all the same questions you've got. They've got all the same problems that you've got. They've got the same burdens and the same fears. And they're looking for a light out of their darkness. They're looking for some truth they can place their feet on and stand on it. They need the light. And you're the only light they know. Do you know that's true in many cases? You may be the only born-again Christian they know personally. You might be the only one in your family. That's the case in some of you. He said, let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You are a light. The Bible speaks of the same direction over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Ephesians 5, 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Don't be ashamed of your testimony for Christ. Don't hold back on your testimony for Christ. Walk as a child of light. God help us. It says the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. You are a born again child of God. You're in some place where everybody around you is lost. You need to be a light. You're going to drink like they drink, talk like they talk, go the way they go, act the way they act. You know what you're going to do? One of these days you're going to wake up and realize you let a bunch of lost friends go to hell without a real witness. And you made them think yours, your testimony, your salvation wasn't worth anything. He said, ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 13 it says, this is Ephesians 5:13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Light comes around and shines in your life and shows you something that's wrong. God does it to help you. He doesn't do it to hurt you. I realize there are some poor fathers in the world. I hope most of you fathers are good fathers. I believe probably most of you are. We hear about on the news bad fathers, stupid fathers, selfish fathers, drug addict fathers, abusive fathers. There's a bunch of bad fathers. Just being a father is not an honorable thing. You need to be a good father. You need to be a father that loves your children. You need to be a father that makes an example to your children. Most fathers, when they rebuke you, most fathers, when they spank you or correct you, do it for your good. They do it because they love you. They do it because they don't want you to keep going in the way that you're going. They do it because they want to give you some sense. My father would talk to me. I was somewhat of a wild young man, and my father would talk to me. He would do his best to reason with me. He'd try to make me think. Oh, I did not like those talks. He kept whipping me when I was about 12 years old, and then he would just talk to me. And I wished he'd have taken out that leather strap and beat me some more. It'd have been over with quicker. But no, he'd say, son, come in here and sit down. I found this in your car. I found this here. I saw this right here. I heard about this. Let's talk about that. Who wants to talk about things like that? It's embarrassing to realize how stupid you are. And to know somebody around you knows how stupid you are. It was painful, but you know what? I've said it many, many times. I can remember when I was 17, I didn't think my father had any sense. By the time I was 21, he had a PhD. And by the time I got to be an old man, he was a philosopher. That man had wisdom. He was just a country dad that loved his son. And he didn't want his son going down the wrong way and having to pay the dues he was going to have to pay for the life that he was living. God says you are light, and your light is a rebuke to darkness everywhere it meets it. Light and darkness are absolute opposites. But darkness has no power to overcome light. In every case, in the physical world, in the spiritual world, light dispels darkness. You preach the light. You teach the light. You witness the light. You live the light. You be the light. Now there's a real important reason for that, and it's in Acts chapter 13, verse 47. A very important reason. You see, you need light to be saved. There are some people that teach that faith itself is what saves. No, it's faith in the truth that saves. It's not just faith. Everybody's got faith. The atheist has faith in his evolution. Many people that are idolaters have faith in their idols. The self-righteous have faith in their works. No, it's faith in the truth. You need the truth, and unless you put faith in the truth, it won't help you. Notice what he says in verse 47, Acts 13, 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Well, I'm a Gentile. I'm sure I'm Heinz 57 varieties from a number of areas. I don't know that I've got any Jewish blood in me, so I don't think I'm even any part Jewish. Or Semitic. I'm a Gentile. Am I glad that somebody brought the light to me? I'm glad somebody brought to the light to the person that brought it to me. I'm glad that my friend got saved and came over to my house and said, I want to bring a guy by to talk to you. I'm glad that somebody passed on what they knew and it came down as far as me. A light to lighten the Gentiles. You're to be a light to shine because you're living in the midst of a lot of darkness. You're living in the midst of lost people. The most of the people that you now talk to are lost. They don't have enough interest to read a Bible. If you gave them a tract, they wouldn't finish it. You're the only light they've got. Read you one more verse and I'll be through. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning at verse 3 and reading through verse 5. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. What do they need? They need light. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. I was a missionary in Guatemala, Central America, a lot of years ago. There was an old Guatemalan He was in his 70s. I'm not sure how old he was. I'm not sure how long he'd been saved, but it had been over 10, 15 years. He was a saved believer. He didn't read nor write. He walked barefooted. He lived in a mud hut. He was faithful to the meetings. There were a bunch of college professors, most of them fairly young, PhDs though, came down from the States to visit Guatemala and look at the Guatemalan Indian, which he was one of them. He, through the interpreter, would talk to these people, and of course he was a very friendly guy, a sweet Christian. And he would carry them around and show them how they did those things. And it was Guatemala is a beautiful place and very interesting place. And the Indians, you step back 500 years and you get off the pavement. They asked him a lot of questions about his community and about the Indians and whatever. And even about his faith. He was very clear. Yes, sir. He'd repented of his sins. He'd called on Christ and Christ had saved his soul. He was going to heaven. And they're sort of snickering at him. And he began to ask them, what about their faith? Oh, no, no, we don't believe in God. We don't believe this, we don't believe that. And he turned to the interpreter and said, I feel so sorry for these men. They have no faith and they're headed for hell. Here is an illiterate Guatemalan Indian in his 70s that had pity on PhDs out of college. Let me tell you what, light is a wonderful thing to have. Light is a wonderful thing to have. God is light. Jesus is light. His word is light. His children are light. And you need the light for salvation. Don't reject what light you have. There's a verse. I've quoted it many times. I've tried to live by it. Buy the truth and sell it not. Whatever light of truth comes to you from the word of God, pay whatever price you have to pay to get that truth. But don't ever give it up. Not for a friendship, not for family, not for pleasure, not for sin. Don't ever give up truth, because once you start giving up truth for anything, you'll never know where the truth is again. Buy the truth, sell it not. The truth is that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. That's absolute truth. Do you know every atheist that dies is a fundamentalist 2 seconds after he leaves this earth? All of you are going to be believers. You may not be a believer today. I promise you, one day you will be a believer. You'll believe more surely than I do that this Bible is the Word of God, that Jesus is the Son of God and the only exclusive Savior of the world, and no one has any hope besides Him. That's what this book claims. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you just don't believe the book then. Because that's what it says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Him that cometh unto Me, I will in no wise cast out, He says. What a great invitation. That's the invitation of the gospel. That's for you. There is salvation. There is a God. This is a creation, and there is a Creator. And He's got a super mind, much smarter than you are. I know you may be very smart in comparison to me, but it's sort of like me looking at that red ant bed out on my place. And I look at one red ant and it looks just the same as 1,000 other red ants. I can't tell much difference in them. And when God looks down at this human bunch, you know what He sees? A bunch of red ants. You all look about the same. In fact, He declared you the same. He said, all have sinned. You say, but I'm not as bad a sinner as he is. And I'm not a better sinner as she is. And, you know, you can go down the line. No, no, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Gift, gift, gift. You can't earn it. If you ever get it, you have to receive it. To receive it, you have to believe it. To believe it, you need the light. The light that Jesus Christ died for you. Paid your debt on Calvary's cross. And gave you the opportunity to believe. Will you believe in Him today? If you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not saved today. Why don't you make the best decision you ever made? Why don't you take Christ as your personal Savior? Why don't you just repent of your sins? Oh God, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. I've heard that you're a merciful God. And that all that will call upon you, you'll save. You can be saved today. If you're not saved, call upon Christ and be saved. If you're a Christian and the light that's going out of you looks like light one day and darkness the next, and none of your friends have a clue where you really stand, Maybe it's time for you to repent of your sins. Maybe it's time to confess, Lord, I've been a poor witness. I've been a poor light. My light's not shining like it ought to light, like it ought to shine. This altar's open for Christian. Whatever the Lord's laid upon your heart. If God has touched your heart, I can't touch your heart. If God has touched your heart, you respond to God. Let God have His way. We're going to sing number 249. Would you stand with me?